Everybody? Hello? There we go. Good morning. We're going to be in the parable of the two sons this morning. So if you'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 21, we'll also be looking at Luke chapter 3. Now, it says Matthew chapter 3, and that is my mistake, so don't feel bad about Kathy. I got to her the wrong scripture, but I think we've got it all arranged so that we can move on through our scriptural study this morning. But I wanted to read the parable to you this morning as we begin. And I want you to just kind of take it in and listen to it and kind of get a feel for it. And then we will move on with looking at our scripture passage this morning. Now, you may think of the parable of the two sons. You're thinking about the prodigal son, right? That's the first thing we think of, the prodigal son, the younger son, the elder son. This is a little bit of a different story this morning called the parable of the two sons. So hear it this morning and let the Lord begin to speak to your heart. Now, what has happened is the authority of Jesus has been questioned. Jesus has been going around talking about who he is, his life. He's been talking about repentance. He's been talking about the kingdom of God. And his authority is being questioned. And it's very interesting here, as he has his authority questioned, he begins to talk about John the Baptist. And so that's what we'll talk about real quickly at the beginning of our scripture time in Luke chapter 3. But listen to the parable this morning of the two sons. So what do you think? There was a man who had two sons, and he went to the first one and he said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." "Well, I will not," he answered. But later, he changed his mind and he went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. And he answered, "I will, sir," but he did not go. Now, which one of the two did what his father wanted? If you're reading along, you know. The first, they answered. Well, then Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." Now, the first time you read this, the first time I hear it, my first response to this parable is he's talking about serving the Lord. He's talking about going out and doing things for God. But that's not really what this parable is about. This parable is about the importance of repentance. And so I have a quick video for you this morning. It's a video that reminds us, I think, of the most basic thing about what it means to be a Christian. And that is that we come to God only in the calling of God. We come to God on our knees, and we come to God with a repentant heart. And until we do that, we'll never, ever know the power of God as a Christian. So if you're here today and you don't know God, you have come to this church and you're seeking God and you're wondering about God, I want you to hear today the importance of repentance, and we'll define that in just a minute. If you're here today and you've said no to God in the past, today you have the opportunity to say yes. But the important thing about saying yes is recognizing who you are as a person, and the importance of repentance. And maybe you're here today and you don't really see the need of repentance. You're a pretty good person. You don't kick the dog, and you don't kick your wife, or you don't kick your husband, or at least most of the time. And you're a pretty good person, but you haven't really understood the need for repentance and why repentance is important in your life. So here are the video this morning called The Parachute.
Let me tell you a story about two men, both of them riding on an airplane. The first man, the flight attendant, walks up, gives him a parachute and says, "This is your parachute. It is for flight enhancement. It will make your flight better." So the man puts on the parachute. It's heavy. It's cumbersome. It causes him to sweat. It's uncomfortable. He starts to look around and he realizes that Most of the other passengers aren't wearing parachutes. Why does he have one on? And about then, turbulence hits the plane. And he comes to this realization that this parachute is not making his flight any better. And so he quickly takes off the parachute, never to put it on again. But the second man, the flight attendant approaches, and she says to him, "This is your parachute. At some point during this flight, you're going to have to jump out of this plane at 25,000 feet. You don't know when, but it's going to happen." The man quickly puts on the parachute. He understands its purpose. Oh, it's heavy on his shoulders. It's cumbersome. It's uncomfortable. It causes him to sweat. He looks around and realizes that most of the passengers are not wearing a parachute. And this concerns him. He thinks they probably need one. But nothing you can say would get him to take off that parachute. Why? Because he understands its purpose. He understands that it is his only hope if he's going to make it. This story draws us to a better understanding of salvation. I mean, if I were to ask you today, what is the primary purpose of salvation, what would you tell me? Some people say that it is life enhancement, to make life better. The purpose of salvation is to save your soul from the wrath of God. Oh, don't misunderstand me. Abundant life, eternal life, peace, joy, all of these things that come with knowing Christ are a byproduct of salvation. But its primary purpose is to save you. See, we have to understand that God demands righteousness. That's how someone finds eternal life, is by being righteous. And it is salvation through Jesus Christ that brings about your righteousness. If we understand that, then we understand the purpose of salvation better. See, when we have this idea that salvation is about life enhancement, then when we experience turbulence in life, we backslide. We fall. Jesus likened it to a seed that fell on hard ground. It couldn't grow any roots. And so when troubles came, it died away. And when we realize that salvation is about our righteousness, it causes us to want to live a righteous life. And therefore, we turn away from the pleasures of this world that the Bible says will only last for a season. The airplane, that ride, that's life. And the jump, that is our jump from this world to the afterlife. And the parachute is our salvation. Without it, you have no hope. And listen, it's something you have to deal with, because the truth is, one day, before we realize it, we're all going to have to make the jump.
So how many of you have ever jumped out of a perfectly good plane and parachuted? Ren, are you kidding me? All right. For Uncle Sam. All right. Brett, you've done it? All right. Wow. Yeah, I don't find very many people that do, and I totally get that. I would never jump out of a perfectly good plane, no matter what. That sounds a little crazy to me. But what an amazing story, and it is really the story of the two sons. The scripture tells us that none of us is righteous, not one of us. How many of you that makes you feel bad today? I'm not righteous? No, none of us is righteous. None of us can ever muster within ourselves and in our own lives the ability to be what God desires for us to be. We recognize that and know that because we are all fallen in our nature. We are fallen and we are susceptible to sin. And no matter how hard we try, that's always going to be the end of our life unless we recognize that and come to a personal relationship with this God who loved us and made us and created us through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the filling of His Holy Spirit. Now, You know, for the longest time, I used to wonder about that, you know, because it does matter what we do. We recognize that once we become a Christian. It matters what we do. It matters how we act. And there is some life enhancement. How many of you, your life's better now that you're a Christian? You know, I know that sometimes life can be hard and difficult. Maybe you've experienced some difficult things. But my life is so much better because I know God through Jesus Christ. And so God makes our lives better. But the most important reason that Jesus died is that we would recognize who we really were and why we need Jesus so very much. And the thing that's so wonderful about this is that it levels the playing field. How many of you have made some really bad mistakes in your life? You know, and I have talked to so many people across the years. One guy in particular, he's gone to be with the Lord now, but he was a Vietnam vet, and he could never get over the fact about how many people he had killed. It just kept on him. I mean, he knew he was a soldier. He knew he was at war, but it was so hard for him to believe that God could really love him and forgive him because of so many of the things that he had done in his life. But I remember when he finally gave up the idea that he had to justify himself. What he needed to do, all he needed to do, was just stand before God and admit who he really, really was. And in that moment, the grace of God forgave him in Jesus. And so that's what this parable is about today. It is the grace of Jesus comes to each and every one of us, and we have to decide on this level playing field, all right? We've got to decide whether or not we're going to receive that. And so I'd like for you to turn to Luke chapter 3 real quickly this morning. I want us to look at that and understand where Jesus is coming from when he is talking about John the Baptist. Beginning with verse 7 of chapter 3 of Luke. Now John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers." Jesus always knew how to win friends and influence enemies, didn't he? Wow. You brood of vipers. Now you have to understand again, this brood of vipers was no different from you and me, but they were very, very comfortable and they were very self-justifying and they were very, very judgmental about all of the people that were around them. And so he comes to them and he says, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit now in keeping with repentance." Now you see, this statement right here, "produce fruit keeping with repentance," was something that was foreign to them. They did not need to repent because they were perfect. They followed the law. They did everything that they were supposed to. But John comes to them and he says, "produce fruit." That's important to produce fruit in your life, but it must be in keeping with repentance. "And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.'" In other words, we were kind of born into this, and so we kind of are God's people. Therefore, we are in the kingdom of God. "For I tell you that out of these stories, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and will be thrown in the fire." Now, John says something very, very powerful and important here, and the reason I wanted to start with this is because this helps us understand the parable. If you're going to produce the fruit of the kingdom of God, you're going to produce that fruit because you recognize who you are and you have a spirit and a life of repentance. Now, repentance defined, it is that I recognize that I'm heading the wrong direction in my life. God has shown me that. I may be a pretty good person. I may make a really good living. I may make a lot of money. I may have a whole lot of education, or I may not have any education. Some people think that makes them better. I'm not sure. But I recognize that because of who I am, because of my sinfulness, I'm headed the wrong direction. And God has shown me that in my life, and of an act of my free will, I am going to turn away from that old life. And And I think there's an emotional element to this, with sorrow and regret and with a sense of, I am sorry for the life that I have lived. I am going to receive what God has given to me through Jesus Christ. And as I do that, I am going to trust in that, and I am going to walk in a newness of life. Are you walking in newness today? I hope that you are. I hope that, that when you became a Christian, you didn't just say, oh, Lord, I just don't want to go to hell. And that's okay. That's a good motivation, all right? But then you just kind of went back and started living your life the way you lived it before. Always just saying, well, thank God that he's going to always forgive me. That's not what God wants for our lives. He wants us to recognize who we really are. And when he comes in and saves us and fills us with his Spirit, by our repentance, we turn and we walk a different direction in our lives. Now, I want you to see how important this is, because all of us, when we come to Jesus Christ, we come to Jesus Christ in different places in our lives. So I want you to think over here is heaven, not because Mike's here, all right? But over here is heaven, all right? Mike and Jen, they're already in heaven, so all right. But this is heaven over here, okay? And so where's hell? No, not over there. Hell is just ultimately wherever God isn't, okay? So you guys can relax over here, all right? Okay. Going to heaven, though, is about direction, isn't it? It's about walking towards God. It's about living in righteousness. It's about understanding what Christ has done for you and living in that mercy and living in that grace. But all of us, we kind of enter this journey at different places. How many of you entered maybe up here? Your mom and dad took you to church your whole life. You never really did anything super bad. You've always been a pretty good person, and you haven't done a whole lot of bad things in your life, and you entered the kingdom kind of right here, all right? Don't raise your hand, all right? But some of you entered the kingdom, and really, as you now begin to walk toward heaven, and you begin to walk with all of the rest of the people, you're a little closer to all of the things that you know about God. Don't raise your hand. How many of you started way over here? I mean, you messed your life up. You made lots of mistakes. Maybe you hurt a lot of people. Lots of things in your life weren't what they were supposed to be. Do you know what the scripture says? We got a level playing field. It doesn't matter where you enter the kingdom of God. You can enter the kingdom of God at any place in your life. You can enter the kingdom of God by being the most rotten person in the world, or by sort of being a halfway decent person. The most important thing is that we all have to make a decision through repentance, through recognizing who we really are. We have to turn away from that and receive what God has for us in Jesus Christ. So let's look at this parable again. Let's go now over to Matthew chapter 21. A simple story. A man has two sons, and he goes to the son. And how many of you have had children like this, or maybe you do right now? Every time you ask them to do something, the first thing they do is they go, no. I think that's this kind of a kid, okay? So he comes and says, I want you to go out into the vineyard. I want you to work for me today. No! But as he loves his dad, and as he knows his dad cares for him and provides for him, and we don't know what all the motivations were, particularly in this particular story, but after a while, his arms unfold, and he doesn't say no, and he goes and he does what his father asks him to do. And how many of you have kids who are just always trying to please you? All right. I was more of a people pleaser. I didn't really like my mom and my dad to get mad at me. So, son, go out into the vineyard. Okay, dad, I will go out and I will work so hard for you. Wow. Look what else I could be doing today. And so the scripture tells us, the story tells us, that he said that he would go out into the vineyard, but instead he went away and he did something else. Now, Jesus asks an important question. And it really is an important question. Because how many of you know it's more important what you do than what you say? Okay? Any, do you all believe that? Sometimes I think in this world people don't believe that. I think they think as long as they say the right thing, it doesn't matter what they do. But it is important what you do. It is important what you say. But what you do is much more important than what you say. And so he asks a question. Which one of these two did what the Father wanted? And the obvious answer was the one who obeyed. Now, he goes on to talk about tax collectors, prostitutes, who were way down here. And then he talks about scribes and Pharisees who could enter the kingdom right here. And guess who decided through the preaching of Jesus that they were going to enter the kingdom of God? The ones who were way down here. The ones who were here were resisting that message. And so this simple little parable here, it is important for all of us to remember today, because today is just a simple message about making sure you are a Christian, making sure you are saved, making sure that you have entered into the kingdom of God by the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus says there really are three kinds of people. Now you say, Pastor, there's only two. There's two sons. No, I think there's several things going on here. There are three kinds of people, all of them in a predicament because they're lost in their sinful lives. The first, though, are people who repent. People who say, look, I know who I am. And do you realize sometimes that the people who are way down here realize that a whole lot better than the people who are up here? But there are people in their lives, they recognize who they really are. Do you remember the first time when you really knew you were a sinful person? Well, I remember that as a boy. I remember that as a teenager. Sometimes even today, when I look back, and even when I look at the temptations in life today, I realize how easy it is to fall away from God. But there are people who repent. There are people who say, I realize who I am, and I don't want to be that anymore. And I realize that God has made a way for me to have relationship with Him. I turn from my old life. And I turn to the new life that God has for me in Christ. And recognizing that they can't justify themselves, they receive by faith and through grace what only God can do for human beings and for people. And they receive that into their lives, and nothing is ever the same. The scripture says also that not only are they saved, but they're changed. They're born again. How many of you are born again today? I've always loved that word, because it's not just the fact that, yeah, I'm saved. I'm still the same old rotten guy I used to be, but at least I'm saved. No, you are changed. You are made in the image of God, and that now begins to be restored in your life through a relationship with Jesus Christ. We call that regeneration. And everybody said, amen. That's better than I thought, all right? That's a big word, isn't it? But that's a powerful word in our relationship with God, that we are saved, but we are regenerated. We are saved and turned into something that is brand new. We're no longer the old self, the scripture says. But now we are a new self, a new Adam that we follow, Jesus Christ. And that is who we become. So, when you're in this predicament, the scripture says you can be a person who understands repentance. But there are also other people, unrepentant sinners who just willfully say no to God. And God gives you the free will to do that. So when God comes to you in Jesus Christ and you recognize your need for salvation and you recognize that you cannot in any way be what God wants you to be without His regenerating, sanctifying work in your life, some people, they just say no to God. Some people say no to God because I guess they think they're just as good as the next person. You ever had somebody say that to you as a Christian? Well, you know, why do I need to be a Christian? I'm just as good as you are. Every once in a while, they're probably right, huh? When it just comes to all the things that we do or the things that we don't do. But sometimes people want to do it on their own terms. I am amazed at what I like to call designer salvation. Today, some people like to design their own salvation. Well, I'll take a little bit of this. I'll take a little bit of that. No, don't want to do that. I know God didn't want, but I don't want to do that. And they just kind of take a little bit from this religion and a little bit from that religion and a little bit over here and a little bit over there. And they just kind of mix it all together and they design their own salvation. But when it comes to repenting, when it comes to recognizing who they really are, they can never, ever say yes to what God has done for them in Jesus Christ. And so God calls to them. They see their life. And they say, no, I'll pass. But I think this is maybe the scariest one. Unrepentant sinners who think they're okay, who think that they are a part of God's kingdom, who think that they have learned and understood all that God has for them in Jesus Christ. And yet what they're doing is, as God calls them, they are justifying themselves and their hearts remain unchanged. And so Jesus' question is a good one for all of us today. Who has the greater likelihood of entering the kingdom of heaven? Well, the answer is very simple. It is important that we know that we enter through a repentant heart. And so, some important lessons today. God's salvation is for repentant sinners, no matter how far they have strayed. You can be on the other side of that wall in your life. God's salvation is for repentant sinners. But if you're somewhere over here and you're just doing the best you know how to do and you're kind of happy and satisfied and you couldn't imagine that God would ever be unhappy with you because you're doing your best, you need to realize that you need the salvation of God just as much as the person who is way over here. God's salvation is for people who repent, who understand who they are, turn from that, receive the grace of Christ, and walk in newness of life. All, the scripture says, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, all need to turn, all need to repent, and all need to follow after Jesus. Another thing is that you are in a dangerous place if you think you can know God without a repentant heart. I was reading Matthew chapter 7. I want to read this for you today. I believe that it'll be up on the screen. This is an amazing thing to me, that you can actually do things for God, and you can actually do things that appear that God is powerfully working in your life without having God. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 says this: not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now catch this today. Hear this. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. You see, you're in a dangerous place if you just learn all the things about Christianity and you know all the things to do and all the things to say and all the things that are supposed to be done, but you've never gotten to a place that you have a repentant heart and you have turned away and received the grace of Jesus Christ. I want you to look at James chapter 2. James chapter 2, beginning with verse 18. But someone will say, well, you have faith and I have deeds. Well, show me your faith without deeds and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God, good. Well, even the demons believe and they shudder. You see, it is more than believing in God. It's more than making a statement, but it is recognizing as you believe in God through Jesus Christ who you really are. And when you recognize who you are and you recognize what God can do for you, then you become a person with a repentant heart. And it is the repentant heart that finds the salvation of God through Jesus Christ. I hope today, again, that your heart has changed, because the last thing is this, is that repentance is truly a spiritual lifestyle. I hope you recognize that. How many of you have got it all figured out now that you've been a Christian for a while? How many of you recognize you probably know less than you thought you knew before now that you're a Christian? I think that's most of us. And do you know why you feel like that? Do you know why you recognize that? It's not because you're dumb and because you're stupid. It's not because you haven't learned anything. It's not because you haven't grown. It's you've really learned that repentance is really something that you got to do every day. You just get up every day and you say, Lord, man, I'm deficient there. I see that I'm not living everything for you. And I just want you to know, I want you to have this part of my life. You need to have this part of my life. And I want to turn away from the old thoughts and patterns that I've had. And I want to have newness. I want to have newness in you. You see, that's what Christians do. Christians live every day with a lifestyle of repentance, because it's easy to make excuses when the Holy Spirit speaks in the ear of your heart. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know who the Holy Spirit is, don't you? This is what I need you to do. This is what I don't want you to do. And what do? If we don't immediately say yes, what happens in our lives? We start making excuses. Well, it's not that bad. Not as bad as him. Sorry, Carlos. Just the first one I saw. That's all I know. We start making excuses, don't we? And then what happens when we make excuses? What are we doing? We're justifying ourselves, right? We're trying to say, I know what's right and God doesn't. It is important every single day that this repentance that helped us see who we really were, who we really are, and turned us to a new life, that each and every time we face something in our life that's not supposed to be there, our natural tendency will be, God, I am sorry. Will you help me be what you want me to be? We're all susceptible to sin, and repentance is always God's way of changing our hearts. So don't make excuses. See who you really are. See the true state of your heart and allow God to continue to make you into his image by turning from the old, repenting with sorrow and regret if need be, followed by living your life for him. May the Lord teach us that, and may you today, as we give an opportunity now, may each and every one of us not leave this place without knowing Jesus as our Lord and Savior through the repentance in our hearts. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? I'm going to ask our pastors to come up this morning. We are going to have a time for healing.